number five and number 10 have come in? Yes.
Case number five, 22-631.
And I believe she'll need to be sworn in, correct?
Oh, yes, thank you. Well, not the chief, but the...
The appellant.
The appellant.
Actually, appellants five and 10 who came in.
Yes. Back in the back, is he in the back row?
I think, yeah.
Sir? It's an Enfield case.
Enfield.
Somebody walked in late. Sir, could you please remain standing and raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm, as the case may be, that the evidence you shall give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God, or on penalties of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, Chief, could you please identify yourself and your witnesses?
My pleasure. My pleasure. My name is Chief Alaric Fox. I have the great pleasure of serving as the Chief of Police in Enfield, Connecticut. Immediately to my left is Detective Martin Merritt. He will be my primary witness. I have four additional witnesses in the back of the room that will be called forward as their individual cases become relevant.
Thank you, Chief. Just getting your case out. Would you like to make an opening statement, Chief?
I would. Again, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today on a suitability denial. We will present evidence to you of 13 incidents that cause us concern. One of these incidents is older, but 12 of the 13 incidents pertaining to the appellant run from 2002 to the present. Seven of these incidents predate a 2015 appeal hearing before this very board that resulted in a denial for the appellant. Thereafter, as the appellant, by his acknowledgement, went forward to try to have a clean period, if you will, six additional incidents came after that 2015 hearing. Five of the incidents that we'll present to you are from the last 3 years. At their core, all of these events appear to be alcohol abuse related, and the alcohol abuse leads to seemingly perpetual bad judgment issues. As a result, we believe the appellant is not suitable to possess a state pistol permit. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. And sir, just quickly, you weren't here at the beginning. There's a couple things that I want to go over first. Obviously, you're under oath, so anything you say here is under oath and subject to perjury. Second, you can remain anonymous. We're not going to say your name or your address. If you want to tell us your name, that's fine. We at the board know your name, but nobody in the audience knows your name. Third, you're going to be entitled to make a brief opening statement, just like the chief did, as well as a brief closing statement. After your opening statement, the chief's going to put on his case. You'll be able to ask questions of his witnesses. Once he's done, then you'll have your chance to tell us your side of things, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Before we start, what town do you live in?
Enfield.
Thank you. All right, Chief, you may proceed.
The town proceeds and begins with Detective Martin Merritt. Good morning, Detective. How are you employed?
I'm a detective with the Enfield Police Department.
How long have you been a member of the Enfield Police Department?
34 years.
How long have you been a detective within the Enfield Police Department?
Since 2000.
So 23 of those 34 years.
Yes, sir.
You were assigned to conduct the state pistol permit background investigation for the appellant that brings us here today.
Yes.
For ease of presentation, I'm going to bring you through the events in a chronological fashion in an effort to try to be efficient here for your benefit and the ladies and gentlemen of the board. But I'll talk to you about each one in turn, and I'd like you to share with us your knowledge of these events. The first question I have for you, does the appellant acknowledge an arrest, or did he acknowledge to you an arrest in 1987 for possession of marijuana?
Yes.
Okay. Did the appellant acknowledge for you a 2002 arrest by the New London Police Department for driving while under the influence of alcohol?
No.
Was that reflected in your investigation?
Nothing I found. I have a 2003 breach of peace incident and a 2007 disturbing piece arrest that was disclosed, aside from that one.
Was there a prior background investigation that you came across in the course of this background investigation?
It was his initial pistol permit.
Okay, but there was an earlier pistol permit application, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to refresh the witness's recollection.
Disclosure of 2002.
So there's a disclosure in 2002 of a DUI arrest by the New London Police Department. What I just showed to you?
Yes.
Okay. Detective, now drawing your attention to an incident from August 10th, 2003. Did your investigation lead to any information about the arrest of the appellant on that date over an incident that had to do with threatening to shoot people, recorded telephone lines, and a concern about the police coming to his property?
There was an ongoing, he was upset about an ongoing investigation, made a statement that he has guns and would shoot anyone on his property, and he's going to load his guns and start shooting something.
Okay, and in the interest of time and again, the efficiency of the board, I have a witness from that incident that I will probe out in more detail for that one. I won't ask you, Detective, any further questions about that. Detective, in the course of your investigation, did you come across an incident from 12703 that pertained to the appellant's arrest for breach of peace?
Yes.
Can you describe that event for the ladies and gentlemen of the panel, of the board?
The appellant was upset about three juveniles on snowmobiles in the area where he was living, and threatened to hit him if they didn't leave. Ended up taking a swing at one of the juveniles, and he ended up, said he was going to go get his gun. Told the police that he could be intoxicated during the incident. And he was later arrested and convicted of breach of peace.
Thank you. Detective, drawing your attention to 11-17-06, what I would refer to as Incident 5, did your investigation lead you to any information about the appellant's interaction with an individual who was fishing at a town-owned lake on that date and a disturbance that thereafter followed?
Yeah, the appellant was upset that someone was fishing on a private lake that didn't live there. The person told him he did have permission to be there, approached the person, said he was going to throw the person into the lake, made a comment, you know what a 357 Magnum looks like. Person made a complaint to the police department during that encounter with the police. The appellant admitted to having a few beers. He was arrested for the incident and convicted of a breach of peace.
Okay. I'm actually going to go back for just a minute. The arrest that you referred to a moment ago that resulted in the conviction, that's the one that leads to the $100 fine, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then the second arrest and conviction is the one that led to a disposition of conditional discharge, 30 days jail, 30 days suspended, 1 year conditional discharge, $1,000 fine. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Drawing your attention to what I would refer to as incident number 6, did your investigation discover any event from 9609 where the department received a complaint of harassing telephone calls from a victim party?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you describe that for us, please?
So one of the neighbors was walking a dog around 9:30, past his residence. When she returned home, she had a voicemail from the appellant saying that she shouldn't be walking her dog that late because he was trying to sleep, and he sounded intoxicated.
Okay, do you know what time of day this was?
Plane came in at 9:30 at night. I'm not sure when he actually left the message.
Okay. And did the appellant indicate to the victim that he was simply not having a good week?
Yes.
Detective, drawing your attention to incident number 7, did your investigation come across an event from January 28th, 2011, where the appellant was the complained about party relative to harassing telephone calls?
Yes.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of efficiency, I won't ask this detective anything further about that event in favor of the actual investigator, who will present to you momentarily. Detective, did your investigation at this point uncover that the appellant on 9/14/13 applied for a state pistol permit that was thereafter denied for suitability by my predecessor, Chief Safraza?
Yes.
Did your investigation determine that the appellant then appealed that decision to this board, the Board of Firearms Permit Examiners?
Yes.
And that resulted in a hearing on March 26, 2015?
Yes.
And that the appellant did not receive a state pistol permit as a result of that appeal and suitability decision by my predecessor, correct?
That's correct.
Detective, drawing your attention to what I would refer to as incident number 8, did your investigation uncover an event on 9, strike that, apologies, March 19th, 2017, which appeared to be a dispute at an Enfield car wash between the appellant and another party?
Yes.
Can you describe that event for the ladies and gentlemen on the board?
We received a claim from a gentleman that he was at a car wash in Enfield, washing his vehicle on service bay, and the appellant began shouting for him to hurry up. Initially apologized, thought he had told me he would try to move things along as quick as he could.
Who apologized? The appellant or the victim?
The victim, to appease him, possibly. He approached the appellant. The appellant told him to get back. He would kick his ass. Began yelling obscenities and harassing comments to the complainant. The gentleman was upset enough that he felt it was necessary to report the incident to the police due to the appellant's level of aggression and agitation.
Go ahead.
So the appellant was contacted, and his explanation was that when the complainant exited his vehicle, he thought he may have a weapon or was coming to fight.
Detective, drawing your attention to what I'll call incident number 9, did your investigation determine an event on April 25th, 2020, where the Enfield Police Department received a complaint concerning the use of a wood chipper on a neighbor's property nearby the appellant that resulted in a disturbance?
Yes.
And once again, there'll be a subsequent witness on that will provide further details, so I'll ask you nothing further about that, Detective Merritt. Detective, drawing your attention to what I'll refer to as incident number 10, on 9/11/2020, did your investigation determine that there was another incident that occurred on this day that involved the appellant and the Enfield Police Department?
Yes, sir.
Can you describe this event for us?
The appellant felt that a vehicle was traveling too fast in his neighborhood. He stopped the vehicle, told him to slow down. He said the driver was irate.
The appellant was counseled to bring further concerns about his perceived reckless operation of vehicles to the attention of the police department. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Rather than take matters into his own hands.
Detective, drawing your attention to incident number 11, did your investigation determine an event on 6/16/21 when the appellant came in to be fingerprinted for his state pistol permit?
Yes.
And once again, there'll be an additional witness on that, so I'll ask you nothing further. Detective, incident number 12, 10/14/21, as you were interviewing or meeting with the appellant as part of the pistol permit application process, did he acknowledge still being an alcoholic and concedes that he drinks too much on occasion?
Yes.
And that he continues to do that, is that correct?
That's correct. His comments were that he's still an alcoholic, feeling he has a better handle on his problem, but concedes he still drinks too much on occasion.
Detective, last night you found incident 13, and ladies and gentlemen, with my apologies, this is not in your packet. It was brought to my attention last night when Detective Merritt discovered it. did you find a 13th incident from 7/28/23 that pertained to the appellant and an incident in the town of Enfield?
Yes.
Can you describe that event for me?
It was a dog bite incident. The appellant was at a gathering in the neighborhood and was in an intoxicated condition, approached a lady who had a dog, was warned to put his face in the in the vicinity of the dog's face and was bit as a result.
Okay. Did the complainant indicate that the appellant had aggressively grabbed the dog while intoxicated?
Yes.
Grabbed the dog's jowls?
Yes.
Rammed his head into the dog's forehead?
Yes.
The dog began to growl, and then the dog, unfortunately, then the dog then bit the appellant, is that correct?
Yes.
And we received a complaint about the dog bite incident, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing further for this witness.
Thank you, Chief. Sir, do you have any questions of the witness?
Well, that was a lot of information. The dog bite? We played horseshoes on Wednesday night, and no, I wasn't intoxicated.
Sir, do you have questions?
No.
Okay. Does the board have any questions? Next witness.
Thank you. You may step down, Detective. Detective Chamberlain. Good morning, Detective. Would you please state your name and business location for the ladies and gentlemen on the board?
Good morning. Detective James Chamberlain, Town of Enfield Police Department.
Detective, how long have you been a member of the Enfield Police Department?
Since 1988.
So 35 years. And how long have you been a detective with the Enfield Police Department?
Since
07. So draw your attention to 2003. Officer Chamberlain was dispatched to what I referred to earlier as incident number 3. This was an 8/10/03 arrest of the appellant for breach of peace. Where there were concerns about him being falsely accused of committing burglary and statements on his part that he had handguns and would shoot anyone who came onto his property. Can you describe that event from your recollection to the ladies and gentlemen of the board?
I just remember responding to that call for those reasons. If I could just look, it's 20 years
ago. Refresh your recollection.
Yeah, the police department received a call about him very upset about being accused of burglary and ongoing investigation.
Dispatch recorded lines reflected the statement that the appellant was going to load his gun and start shooting something?
Correct.
That he was going to snap?
Correct.
That he had a guard dog? That he would shoot anyone on his property?
Correct.
That his guns were unloaded, but they would only take a second to load, and that he was really pissed off?
Correct.
Do you recall anything else relevant to this event that you'd like to share with the ladies and gentlemen of the board?
He made more comments about, after being arrested, he made more comments regarding getting guns and so forth.
Okay.
And then we get guns at his mom's house.
And guns were seized at this as a result of this incident from the scene, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Nothing further for this witness.
Thank you, Chief. Sir, do you have any questions of this witness?
No.
Does the board have any questions of the witness? Seeing none, next witness.
Thank you. Officer Jamie Kaplan. Good morning, officer. Would you please state your name and work address for the ladies and gentlemen on the panel?
Officer Jamie Kaplan, 293 Elm Street, Enfield, Connecticut, 06016.
How long have you been an Enfield police officer?
October 15th, 2006, so 17 years.
Drawing your attention to what I've identified or what I've been calling incident number 7, it was a 12811 incident and a complaint of harassing phone calls. Were you the assigned investigator in this matter?
Yes.
Can you describe this event for the ladies and gentlemen of the panel?
I was dispatched to a complaint of harassing phone calls. The victim told me that...
The appellate.
Thank you. The appellate was texting him, saying that it was his fault that he had been fired from his job. There were no direct threats at that point, but he wanted him to stop texting. It was more of a harassing phone call complaint. And he said he was not in fear of his family.
However, the complaint did indicate that the applicant was text messaging him, blaming him for his getting fired from employment. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. You spoke to the appellant, and he agreed to discontinue this behavior?
Actually, Sergeant Christensen made contact with him.
Okay.
And warned him to stop text messaging him. And then I told the victim if he was contacted again by the appellate to call the police department.
Thank you. Nothing further for this witness.
Sir, do you have any questions for the witness?
No.
Does the board have any questions? Seeing none.
Officer Mark Rochette. Good morning, officer.
Good morning.
Would you please state your name and business address for the ladies and gentlemen on the board?
My name is Mark Rochette. I work for the Enfield Police Department, 293 Elm Street, Enfield, Connecticut. I've been a member of the Enfield Police Department for 30 plus years.
Thank you. Officer Rochette, drawing your attention to what I've referred to as Incident 9, this is a very specific incident, 42520, that begins with a complaint that the applicant had begun yelling at a neighbor because of a tree company starting work on her property at 8 a.m. Can you walk us through your investigation of this incident?
Yes, I can.
Please do.
I received a call from the complainant. She was walking past the appellate.
Yes, the appellate.
The appellate's house. She lives across the street. And he began berating her and yelling at her because she had some tree work done and felt that the company started too early. She continued to be berated by the appellate. Didn't want to have any confrontation, so she walked into her house and the appellate walked back onto his property. She looked out the front window several minutes later and noticed the appellate was now sitting on his front porch and had a rifle across his lap. She said she knows the appellate and he appeared to be upset and she was concerned, so she called it in as a well-being check. She said he sat there for approximately a minute, never pointed the rifle at anyone or any of the workers, got back up and walked into the house with the rifle. Upon my arrival, he did not have the rifle with him any longer. I had a general conversation with the appellate. He said he was in a lot of stress. He had recently lost his job. He was behind in all his bills. He was very frustrated. Also, it was during COVID and his mother had recently gotten COVID and was in the hospital. Couldn't make contact with her because of the COVID rules. In the end, he admitted to me that he knew it was a bad decision taking the rifle out onto the porch, and he understood that it was a bad decision.
Just to be clear, the rifle on the lap on the porch came immediately after the dispute between the two neighbors, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Nothing further for this witness.
Sir, do you have any questions for the officer? Does the board have questions? Officer, what time of day was that? I apologize if I missed that. What time?
It was 9-something. The incident started around 8-something. We got called around 9.
Thank you. Next.
Officer Kevin Rajon.
Chief, can you have the witness spell his last name?
I will. Good morning, officer. Would you please state your name, spell your last name, and provide your business address?
Kevin Rajon, R-A-G-I-O-N, 293 Elm Street, Enfield, Connecticut, 06082.
Thank you, Officer Rajon. Officer Rajon, how long have you been a member of the Enfield Police Department?
15 years.
Drawing your attention to 6-16-21, what I would refer to as incident number 11, did you have occasion to have interaction with the appellant on this date?
Yes.
And this was not a criminal case. However, there was a concern about the appellant's level of intoxication. Is that correct?
Correct.
Can you tell us what happened?
So our community service agent was fingerprinting the appellant for his pistol permit. He had brought to my attention at the police department that he had smelled an odor of alcohol on him. I spoke with him, he admitted to driving, and I had him perform a field sobriety test, which he did pass.
Okay. What time of day was this at?
I would say roughly 6 p.m. is usually right around the time of the pistol permits.
Okay. And did the appellant acknowledge for you that he had had a few beers that morning?
Yes.
But he indicated he had nothing else to drink since noontime?
Correct.
However, the CSA have reported to you the concern about the odor of alcohol. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you detect the odor of alcohol?
I did.
Thank you. Nothing further for this witness.
Sir, do you have any questions for the officer? Just four F questions. Next witness, sir.
The town rush.
Okay. Sir, it is your chance to tell us what you'd like us to know.
Okay. When I said I'd shoot people, there were no handguns involved. I don't own any. I never have. I don't have a permit. I do own shotguns. Because I hunt. I've always hunted. I had a home invasion prior to my house burning down. That was pretty bad. The home invasion, my dog bit the guy, he sued me. But then my house burned down. Allstate was paying me to go to eat. So I would go to eat and I'd do a shot and have a beer with dinner or whatever. And this was an ongoing, every night thing. And yeah, that was a bad time for me with alcohol. Since then, I just basically drink beer. I do like brandy, but I quit drinking brandy last year because I was having health issues, gut issues, intestinal issues. So there was too much sugar, so I quit that last year. I have one beer a night now. I'm actually FAA certified mechanic machinist to work on military aircraft. Back then I wasn't, but now I am. They can test me at any given point for alcohol, drugs. I don't smoke marijuana. I don't do any drugs. I barely take my heart medication. All the stuff that you mentioned with handguns, Chief, no handguns were ever mentioned. The only time I said I'd shoot people was because I was being railroaded, basically, into being accused for something I never did. And I don't think it's really good protocol for a detective to call somebody on their phone and say, we gotta talk to you, come on down to the station. I go, all right. I go down there. Where were you on a night of blah, blah, blah? I'm like, we're talking. You know, pretty upsetting. The incident with the guy at the lake, he threatened to throw me into the lake. Okay? I splashed him a week earlier. The water ponds right there where you come down the two hills in between the lakes. And it was raining, November night, cold, hard rain, dark. I didn't see the guy until I was right on him and my car splashed. He was pretty pissed. So I didn't want to deal with it right then. So I went home. I ran into him a week later. I wanted to apologize. And he immediately started yelling at me and saying he's going to throw me in the lake. And I said to him, I says, look, why don't you just come down to my house and we'll discuss it. And I drove off. Nothing about a .357. Nothing at all. I don't own pistols. I would not say anything like that. I would not threaten somebody. I just was like, dude, calm down. I didn't mean to splash you. It was an accident. These other incidents, I had a DUI in New London. That was during a period of my house burning down. And I went to the beach. I had to get away. I had to get away from everything. So I went to the beach, ate, had a few beers. I was driving home. I had my 1970 fully restored Blazer with 450 horsepower. And I realized, hey, wait a minute. I can't drive this truck home. It's worth too much money. It's got too much horsepower. So I was pulling into a gas station to park it in the back, and some lady was backing out of her spot and she backed into me, And then the police, she called the police. I was arrested, sure. But I was parking the truck to call my brother to have him come pick me up because I realized that I couldn't drive. So that was that. The incident with the tree, I was working an overnight third shift and I had gotten home at 7 in the morning and I was sleeping. And my bedroom is right across the street from where the incident happened. And I mean, they fired up this industrial powered thing and I fell out of bed. I'm like, what the hell? No, seriously. I'm like, what the hell's, what's going on? You know, I didn't know what it was. So I went out on the porch and they're out there and, oh, well, we're sorry. So, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, you know, I went to my safe, I grabbed a shotgun and I sat on the porch just in defiance. Please, you can't be starting machines up like that at 8 in the morning. It was just a stupid incident. But that neighbor there, Susan Raven, she's a window watcher. She watches everything I do, and it's very annoying. I had a nice display on my front porch, or porn stalls, one day. And I was taking it down, and there was some corn in there. So I'm like, oh, I'll throw it out in the front yard for the squirrels, you know. She comes out of her house immediately. What are you doing? I'm feeding the squirrels. I don't want the squirrels here. Well, you don't really have any choice. They're squirrels, you know what I mean? What can I tell you? And that was that. She's always watching what I'm doing. And right now, currently, my mom had to go into an assisted living facility. And I own her house. I own my house. But I'm going to move down to her house because she's got 3 acres. There's nobody behind her. There's nobody in front of her. You know, I have 1 acre, she's got 3. She's got a decent house. My log cabin, after my house burned down, I built that log cabin myself. It's beautiful. And I think a lot of people got jealous of it. It's probably one of the nicest houses on the lake. But yeah, I love that cabin, but I'm gonna move down to my mom's. It's a tough decision, but it's a better decision. Like I say right now, I might have a beer once a night after work when I get home. I won't even finish it. I end up pouring half of it out. It just gets warm. I'm out in the yard. I'm doing other things, laundry, cooking. The current job that I just started last week, it'll be an overnight shift. But it's $32.20 an hour. That's $5 more than I ever made in my life before the pandemic. And that's almost $50 overtime. I moved on to my mom's. Things will be better. My ship is finally sailing in. I've struggled with machining. Machining's a tough situation. You gotta deal with a lot of bad management. People that make bad decisions. I'm a fourth generation machinist, so it's been my whole life. I'm an auto mechanic. I fix all my old home cars. I restore cars. My family had a restoration business. That's where I learned how to restore cars. I was a drummer for 20 years in a heavy metal band. We toured from Virginia to Maine every weekend. It was fun. I couldn't drink because you cannot play drums when you're drinking. You just can't. So I drink lemon water. Maybe have a beer in between a set, but whatever. I don't do that anymore since the house fire. I still play. I have 3 drum sets, well worth over $10,000. I own 5 cars. I'm an honest person. I do enjoy hunting. I had to put my dog down 4 years ago. So I haven't done much hunting since then. I keep my guns locked in their safe. The ammo is separated, just as the law requires. The permit after Sandy Hook, state of Connecticut implemented, you need your ammo permit and you need your long gun permit. So I figured, well, why bother going for those two when I'm gonna probably be in the same position I'm in right now? Why don't I just go for the pistol permit? And that'll cover me for my ammunition and hunting and maybe buying a new shotgun, because the one I have, the one I'm using, I wanna retire because it's 1915 antique, side by side. And a side by side barrel. I've hunted with that since I was 13. I can play any birds, I can play clay pigeons, play pigeons.
Sir, excuse me. Can I bring you back to the hearing today?
Yes, sir, sure.
You're talking a lot about yourself and your likes and.
Sure, okay, fine.
The issuing authority brought up a bunch of incidents and I think you've addressed them. I don't wanna cut you off, but you're just kinda wandering on and on.
No, I'll stop.
You don't have to stop. I just wanna bring, focus you back to the subject of the hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions for me?
Chief, do you have any questions?
I do. Sir, please know that I don't ask this lightly, but I do need to ask it. You acknowledge that you're an alcoholic, correct?
Back when my house burned, I was drinking a real lot.
Well, you acknowledged in 2021.
No, you guys asked me if I had ever abused alcohol. And I said yes. But you never asked me when, why, where, or how. Okay? If I like to have a beer or two after I get home from work, I don't see where that's a big problem.
Sir, let me rephrase the question. Did you acknowledge the detective?
I acknowledged that I had.
Sir, can you please let the. Sir, he didn't ask the question yet. You have to let him ask the question.
Okay.
Did you acknowledge the detective Merritt, words to the effect that you were an alcoholic who still drinks?
Yes.
Thank you. How much do you drink now?
A beer a night.
Okay. When was the last time you believed you were intoxicated?
6 months ago.
You're aware
when I was drinking brandy?
You're aware that less than 4 months ago, about 3 months and 3.5 months ago, that Ms. Mitchell indicates that you were intoxicated in the incident with the dog bite. You aware of that?
I was not intoxicated.
Okay.
It was at like 6 o'clock at night. I had just gotten home from work and just started playing horseshoes. The dog, which is an English bulldog, owned by a police officer, his two daughters were petting the dog. And I went over to pet the dog's head and I kind of got a little too close. I could see the dog was getting upset and I tried to move away. I'm like, well, I probably shouldn't have even done that. I know dogs. And the dog just jumped on me, bit me in the face. I bled for 3 days. And I had to make the report in case I wanted to follow up on it. I went to the hospital, got treatment. And they were all, the owners of the dogs, his wife, she was helping me. She went home, we got some medicine, alcohol.
My question's been answered.
Okay.
But sir, you indicate that you don't smoke marijuana?
No.
You did smoke marijuana, correct?
When I was 18.
Okay. You deny making the statement. Do you know what a .357 Magnum looks like?
I absolutely deny that.
You deny that. But this is the event that you were convicted in, correct?
Yes.
You were sentenced to 30 days in jail, execution suspended, 1 year conditional discharge on a fine, correct?
Sure.
Okay. The incident where you were sleeping and you were woken up because of the sound of the wood chipper, what was the point of retrieving a long gun and sitting outside with the long gun on your lap immediately after the argument with the neighbor?
That would be in defiance for my integrity of being a human being and wanting to have, privacy. And I just believe that, I don't want this thing to escalate. And then I was like, this is probably going a little too far. So I put the gun back in the safe, locked the safe, went back and sat on the porch.
You didn't want things to escalate, so you got the gun and brought it out with you.
In case they were going to start something with me.
Who?
The tree company.
Nothing further.
I don't like profiling people, but there were some shady-looking dudes out there.
You answered the question.
Okay. Tell me about the shady-looking dude, sir.
Puerto Ricans.
Nothing further.
Questions by the board. Ms. Johnson.
you started your soliloquy today by saying, when I said I shoot people, I didn't have any guns.
I did not. They were at my mom's house.
But you're asking for this board for permission to get guns.
I don't want a pistol. I just want the permit so I can go to the range and keep practice on clay pigeons and shoot my .22 so I can keep practice on that. Because when you're without practice, and I can't buy ammunition, when you're without practice, that's an unsafe condition.
Oh,
that's right. Why police practice.
The other thing you said, which was pretty glaring, was the only time I threatened to shoot someone was when I'm frustrated. You're frustrated right now.
I didn't say when I'm frustrated.
That's exactly what you said.
I was frustrated that day that I said I'd shoot people because I was frustrated that I was being accused of B&E, breaking and entering, which I never did. Nobody ever investigated that on my behalf.
You seem pretty frustrated right now.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Do I want to be here? I just drove an hour and 15 minutes to get here. You know, I hate driving on the highway. Can't stand it. People can't drive.
You seem to be easily rattled.
What's that?
You seem to be easily rattled.
I have a high metabolism. I don't know.
Okay, but your neighbor had some trees taken down and had a wood chipper, and that forced you to respond by sitting on your front porch with a rifle?
Is that illegal?
No, but is that appropriate?
No, it wasn't, so that's why I put it away. I realized, I don't know. I was sleeping. I just came off a third shift, 6 at night to 6:30 in the morning. I got home, I went to bed, very tired, trying to sleep.
The world is day shifters. Sorry to say it.
I know.
What,
at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You got to start at 9. That's the law, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't live in your town. So
I
couldn't tell you.
9 o'clock was when you can start working on a house or construction or something like that.
Did you happen to talk to the foreman or anything like, or the homeowner?
We had a brief conversation.
What did that entail?
He said, do you need any tree work done? And I says, yeah, actually I do. Mm-hmm. So I took down his number.
Okay. And what was your problem with the crew? Besides their ethnic makeup?
They just looked threatening.
How does one look threatening?
They just looked threatening. They were watching the whole thing going down.
Ensure safety of everybody around, the property owner, and anybody nearby. That's what tree crews do.
Excuse me?
To ensure the safety of the crew, the homeowner, the property, and anything in it or around it. That's why they look everywhere.
What's the difference when people are, you know, threatening to come on my property?
Did anybody threaten to come on your property?
No.
Okay. So again, I asked, what was so threatening about the tree crew?
It startled me. I mean, this thing was freaking loud.
Does sudden thunder startle you?
No, but you know when thunder's coming.
No, you don't.
When you're fast asleep after a long night and you hear something like that, I jumped out of bed. I fell on the floor. I'm like, what the hell is this?
You've never heard a wood chipper before?
I ran.
Okay, so you're familiar with that sound.
This thing was huge. This thing was huge.
I mean, but you are familiar with the sound, much like you're familiar with the sound of thunder.
Well, not when I'm sleeping.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you get the tree guy's number before or after you got the firearm?
After.
And nobody made any threats to you before that?
No. It was just a very, very odd situation to be sleeping. I didn't like to work that shift.
Do you understand why it's very strange to us that your first reaction is to go grab a firearm and sit in defiance, in your own words, with a firearm?
I felt threatened. So
but why? Because they were running a wood chipper.
I just felt threatened.
Other questions by the board?
I didn't aim it at anybody. I realized that was a bad decision. You know? people made bad decisions. I don't know.
But you're making bad decisions with a firearm. Do you understand the point?
Yes. That's why I put her away.
Sir, I think it's not just one bad decision. We have a whole packet, and we had, I think, five witnesses just as to five separate incidents, and there was more on top of that. It's okay. It's a lot.
Over 20 years of bad decisions.
Yeah, but they weren't because of my decision. I mean, they were my decisions ultimately.
It's your reaction to those decisions.
Exactly. That was my reaction.
And that's the problem.
Then having
you with the ability to carry firearms paired with those bad decisions to your reactions.
I don't want to carry a firearm. I don't want a pistol.
But I can't, but the problem is we can't limit that. We can't say you can have this permit, but you can't carry it around. We can't do that.
Right. I understand. So what I would ask the board to do for me is allow me to have my ammunition permit.
We don't do that.
We can't do that either. It's all or nothing.
And this has gotten to be more of a discussion than a hearing. So let's
we're not giving legal advice.
Can you steer me in a direction?
No. We're not here to give legal advice.
Ammunition permit?
Could you help me, sir? Let's focus. Are there any other questions by the board? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
I really just want my ammunition permit so I can go to the range and shoot clays.
That information is available on the website for the state, how to get an ammunition, how to get a permit.
Chief, closing statement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is my desire and my obligation to please, to serve, and to satiate within reason the 45,000 residents of the town of Enfield, and this includes the appellant. Both fortunately and unfortunately, however, I also have a responsibility to ensure the safety of 44,999 other people. And that cannot take a secondary position to the appellant's desire to have a state pistol permit. We have 13 separate incidents. And that's if I don't count some of the statements that were made today that span the bulk of the appellant's adult life, where the misuse of alcohol leads to incredibly and seemingly perpetually bad judgment situations. Firearms have already been deployed or threatened in three of those incidents. We ask for your concurrence with the town's position that adding a state pistol permit in to this formula would not improve the safety of the residents of the town of Enfield. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Comments by the board? Seeing none. Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you, ladies.